Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Lori, are you there?
Yep, we're going to start.
Okay.
Hi, this is Kitchen Politics 123, the radio show with David Franklin and Lori Picca. This evening, Eric Brantley will be in for David because he's not feeling well. The Heritage Foundation, along with several right-wing think tanks, is trying to convert America into a hardcore religious theocracy like Iran. Imagine, if you will, America transforming into an autocratic state ruled by a dictator with ideology is Trumpism mixed with extremist views based on Christianity. Democracy would be destroyed beyond repair. It would make Handmaid's Tale and 1984 look like child's play. This is why voting in every election is so important. We will dive and dissect what Project 2025 really is and how it will impact America as we know it. They want to gut the federal government, kill people who are LGBTQ+, have women barefoot and pregnant, and so much more. It's almost 1,000 pages in length, giving great details on their hopes of how they think America should be. It's a fool's utopian dream at best, and they will never see the light of day. With your help, we might unite and fight these extremists, lunatics to save our democracy. Failure to do so would be the end of our liberties and freedoms that our forefathers worked so hard so we can enjoy today. I want to thank you all for joining tonight's broadcast. We appreciate you sharing across social media. And I think we can take a couple calls tonight, but not a lot, because we have quite a bit to go through. So, you know, if you just want to listen, that would be great. Our website is www.kitchenpolitics123.com. This is Kitchen Politics, a radio show with David Franklin and Lori Picca. And like I said, Eric is sitting in for us tonight. We're not antisocial, just anti-stupid. So let's get cooking. Hi, Eric. How are you tonight? Hello?
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. This is Eric, and he's also from Michigan. He's sitting in tonight for David, who's not feeling well. We are going to continue on our Project 25 that we started last night. And as everybody knows, I don't know if everyone knows, so I'm just going to kind of, in case you weren't listening last night, so I'm just going to kind of say what Project 2025 is. And then, Eric, we will start on number 25, okay? Project 2025 is a political agenda authored by more than 50 conservative-leaning groups. Think tanks and educational institutions and publications are listed on its advisory board, including the Claremont Institute, Young America's Foundation, and the Defense Conservatives. Under the guidance of the Heritage Foundation, has contributions over 30 authors. It outlines the presidential election of the presidential the Republicans retake the White House in 2025. A nearly 1,000-page document with language that outlines and U.S. versus them, United States versus them, us the people. Ideology will cause division, not unity. The goal is to dismantle three branches of government: legislative, executive, and judicial. Every page has fearful language about the radical left and the liberal agenda, and threaten, scare, and intimidate readers into panic and could lead them to vote against their best interests out of fear. So that's basically what Project 2025 is. Now, they go through and name, which we worked on last night, all the agencies that they want to dismantle and all the things that they want to do to put in their own people to work in their government, not government for the people. And I hear something in the background. What is that?
Oh, you know what? I think I had, I don't know if it was a thing in the background. I paused it because I had something. I was looking for a link on the computer or whatnot, but we're good now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, so we're going to go to number 25. Do you see it, Eric?
Yes, I do. And right quick, I just want to say this is Eric Bratley, co-hosting Kitchen Politics 123. I'm a regular caller in with the show, and mm-hmm. I am a precinct delegate, trustee, and activist in the Democratic. I reside in the state of Michigan. All of my information is open and available for anybody who wants to contact me. If you feel that there are some Democratic candidates I need to promote and reach out to, I also connect with Democratic activists, organizers, officials, candidates, journalists, anybody who contributes to the Democratic Party, feel free for them to reach out to me so we can do a live video, get them on the show, and we can come up with more and more ideas on how to promote Biden and Harris and other Democrats for 2024.
Okay, that's great. So number 25, I can start with that, Eric, and then you can do the next one if you like. Restore and broaden prohibitions on funding abortions with the government money to the point where home-based NGOs, which is a non-government organization, would probably not be able to mention it. So the aim of the fund of the NGO is their fundamental aim is social, but not associated with the government. So they're there to help, but they cannot. This think tank does not want them to talk about NGO. The NGOs are not allowed to mention anything. So it's once again they're taking away the First Amendment right. And then they wouldn't be able to provide any sort of help to their employees or coverage to their employees for abortion as well. Okay, go ahead, Eric, 26.
Okay, so number 26 is stop mm-hmm. USAID from promoting contraception and foreign aid. And to those of you who are not familiar with what the USAID is, it's the U.S. Mm-hmm. agency. It's the United States Agency for International Development. So what do they do? The USAID has missions in more than 80 countries and programs in more than 100. They work in a variety of technical areas, including agriculture, economic growth, environment, education, democracy, human rights, and governance, women's empowerment, water and sanitation, and global health. And so the Republicans are basically saying that they want to cut that as well. And as I've talked about before, a number of the Republicans in the House have already authored a bill, even though they didn't pass it, but they attempted to pass a thing where they were going to cut 30% of essentially everything. They wanted to cut 30% through 12, cut Medicaid, Social Security. Of course, we've covered that multiple times. And so this message goes out to anybody who's listening to this, and if you care about these issues and you want to save it, probably voting for the other party's idea. That's not to say that every single last labor Republican is on board with this, but the majority of them as a whole, this is what they stand for. So far, I haven't heard any Democrats saying anything like this. So that's another reason why it's essential to promote the Democrats for the next election, not just for the White House, but also for the Senate, the Congress, the governors, and the local spots, state representatives, state senator, all the way down to the city council and the school board. These things are important, and they should be important to you, too.
Absolutely. And we have to remember that the Democrats are for the people, where, you know, if the Republicans go into power and, you know, win the presidential election, I should say, then this will go into effect because it's already been written, approved, and there will be no turning back. So we would have to endure 4 years of destruction, and then how many years would it take to, you know, fix it? So we have to think about that. Number 27, focus on working on faith-based organizations for foreign aid. So in other words, if you are a billionaire and you want to help or a corporation, and you want to help give foreign aid to countries that need it, if you're not faith-based, it sounds like they don't even want you to do it at all. So that, to me, is not at all. Because if you are a Christian, you don't care where the help comes from, as long as it is helping people. That's my opinion.
Right. And the other thing I want to add to that is, you know, and by any chance, and I know, like you said, this show is primarily going to be used for breaking down what the Project 2025 is, so we may not have that many callers tonight. But just in case if we do, if we happen to have anybody who is a conservative or a right-leaning independent who is seeing this agenda, and whether you agree with it or disagree with it, or even if you agree with half of it, if there's something here that we are misguided by, if there's something we're misunderstanding about one of these bullet points, and feel free to talk about it and see if you can correct us. So far, a lot of this does not sound good. Every last one of these things, I may not know exactly what they all mean. Some of this stuff, even I'm still researching. But if there's any misunderstandings or misconceptions or miscommunications about it, just let us know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 28, prevent the NIH from doing further gender research. So once again, the NIH is the National Institute of Health. It is the nation's medical research agency. It makes important discoveries and improve health and lives. That's what it for. That's what it does. And they want to cut the further. They want to cut gender research. So there you go. Number 29.
We have removed medication abortion from the market. Now, this is, again, this also kind of ties in with number 25, and this deals with women's reproductive rights and deals with the abortion. Now, I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it now. Of course, I'm a guy, so I know that none of this applies to me one way or the other, and I don't have much of a say in this. Again, as a person who is, for the most part, pro-choice, and I'll say that it's on the decision of the woman, the only person that she should consult about that is a doctor. I want to remind people that the last guy who was president, he came out and said that the reason why the overturning of Roe v. Wade happened was because of him. It basically was a simple admission. And so a lot of the liberals – and some centrists, and even a small fraction of conservative women, were very ticked off about this. And we're here to remind people that had we elected a Democrat in 2016, whether it had been Hillary or Bernie, the Supreme Court would have been fixed. Of course, we sadly lost Ruth Bader Ginsburg in 2020, which means that she would have been replaced by a Democratic judge or at least a left-leaning independent judge, and a lot of this could have been saved. And so people have to understand that when we talk about voting blue no matter who, that doesn't just mean just vote for the Democrats for the White House no matter what. It means we're trying to promote Democrats on all levels, and when we get Democrats on all levels, that means we can also get more judges in many different states that are, you know, on our side in terms of doing better for the public. And so this is why they say elections have consequences. It's not just about people like Bush and Trump becoming president. It's also about who's going to be on that Supreme Court, because it's a lifetime appointment. Now, anybody can make the argument to say you can impeach a judge. However, that's a lot harder to do compared to impeaching a president or even trying to recall a governor or anybody else who's in power in other places, a senator, a congresspeople, whatever. So people listening to this, that those of you who have a real hardcore opinion about abortion, especially if you're in favor of the woman making her own decision, this is something you should be paying attention to, and this is what the Republicans are promoting. They are saying, you know, keep Roe v. Wade overturned, and, you know, the Democrats are at least keeping it in place. At least that's what they say. And so this is why it's important to stress the differences between the two parties. Unfortunately, people get too caught up in the minor similarities.
And the other thing is, Eric, if they do gain power, which I highly doubt, but if they do gain power, it will be abortions will be banned all over the country. It won't just be in certain states. They will make sure that it's banned all over the country. And it is not right to make a decision for another person when it's not their body, it's not their life, it's not their space, and
yes,
they have no, absolutely no business telling someone that they can or cannot have a child. I find it so hard to comprehend how these people, they can go to a person and point at that person or, you know, try to arrest them if they're trying to go across state lines now, because that's what they're doing. If these women are trying to travel to different states and they can be arrested, who are these people that think in a free country that they can do these sort of things and arrest them and not allow them to have an abortion? And there's been some women that have had really horrible health problems while they were pregnant and almost died. Actually, a woman did die. And you could go into the archives and you can look at this stuff. And there are court cases that are going on right now, all because of all the problems that are happening because of these rights taken away from women. Every single pregnancy is different. For one person, it might be a really easy pregnancy. For the next person, it might be a do or die pregnancy. They may not be able to carry a child. So you cannot tell a woman what she can or cannot do with her body. That's the bottom line of everything. That takes away your freedom of thinking, and that we can't stand for. And your freedom of making up your own, making your own decisions, we cannot tolerate.
Yeah, and you know what? That brings me to the next one. Because so number 30 says, prevent the states from waiving SNAP work requirements and making those requirements more difficult. So that could be interpreted in one of two ways, because this is what I'm kind of struggling with, but I have an idea of which one they mean. Make those requirements more difficult. Now, that could be saying the Republicans want to make it more difficult, or they think that the rule we have now is making it more difficult. This brings me to an article according to CBPP.org, which stands for Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. It says right here, this was from January of 2021, right after Biden was inaugurated. The American Rescue Plan Act, the emergency relief proposal that President Biden announced in mid-January and that Congress will begin considering soon, which luckily got passed thanks to the Democrats, includes key investments to mitigate high levels of hunger and hardship. The proposal would extend through at least September the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, benefit increase that policymakers, including in December's COVID relief package, which would help millions of families and children have enough to eat while injecting additional bang for the buck stimulus in the economy. So that also was very much similar to his Inflation Reduction Act, as well as the COVID relief package that he passed. And so what they want to do, and basically they've already talked about wanting to cut this, because that's why almost every Republican voted against it to begin with. And so
of course
they also voted against things like capping the insulin at $35 a month. I know you had already covered on last night's show when I wasn't here. The Republicans already wanted to undo the Inflation Reduction Act. But the people, the voters have to understand that the Inflation Reduction Act was one of its biggest points was capping the cost of insulin at $35 a month. Now, I don't know what the average cost of it was before that. I think it varies on person to person. Maybe one person was paying $60 for it. Maybe another person was paying $100. I guess it depends on the person's condition or how much they bought or whatever. So the thing about it is that by preventing them from doing that and by preventing the states from waiving the SNAP programs, it basically is a way – it's almost like a recycled talking point. They said, well, you want what you want. You're just going to have to keep working for it. Unfortunately, people get in such a – they might be in a physical or mental condition to a point where they can't work. People don't understand this, and that's a problem.
Yes, and I'm going to add that for people that don't know what SNAP is, which I think most people do, SNAP is a Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and it reduces poverty and food insecurity while stimulating economic growth. You know, everybody can have a bump in the road in their life. Everybody. You can get sick and not be able to work for a while. You could lose your job. You could have an illness, you know, and you have to, let's say, go in the hospital and have an emergency surgery, and then you have to recover. You know, you can have a sick child. There are so many different reasons that you would possibly need assistance. And so what I want to know is, what is wrong if you are a Christian, like these people are supposed to be? And this is what makes me so angry, is because they say that they are Christians. They are, you know, they want this country to be a Christian country, but yet the policies that they want to put into effect are not good for the people. They are not Christian-like positions and policies, because they hurt people. So why do they want to hurt people if they want to spread Christianity? See, that is where people have to understand. These people are not Christians. These people are using the word Christian to basically cover themselves up and use that word. You know, when I meet somebody and they have to tell me right away that they're a Christian, I'm done talking to them, because I don't need to know if they're a Christian. I don't need to know if they go to church every week. I just need to know that you're a nice person, you're good to other people, you're a caring person, and you would help somebody if they needed it. And this is the difference between a real Christian and a fake Christian. And these people are fake Christians, and they're hiding behind Christianity. And people are going to be duped by this. That's all I can say.
Well, you know what? And here's the other – and see, that brings me to the next couple of points. Now, I do want to read the next two or three, and then I'll let you take 35 and up. So here's the deal. This is actually one of my favorite ones right here. Mm-hmm. Now, in case you or David or anybody else haven't seen it yet, now, I actually did a show on this the minute I found it out. So okay. Number 31, is it? Okay, 31, it says,
31.
Prevent schools from giving free lunch to all students. You know what? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. That one right there, I can't even be upset that they even said that out loud, because the thing about it is, with them saying that, it lets more and more people know where they really stand. So now you have parents and kids, and granted, I know kids can't vote, but when people see that, they know that, okay, so you have families and kids, especially who live in these poor areas, people who live in the projects or live in the poor parts of the country or wherever, that they cannot afford to eat. They can't eat at school because they can't afford it, and with them not being able to eat, that means that they can't think straight, which means they can't focus on their work, they can't study. And I have an article right here in NPR. This is according to Ayanna Archie, and she published this article in August of 2023. And this is a very short one right here. And here's what Republicans have to understand, and I don't know if they will understand this, but the reason why the state of Massachusetts, as well as eight other states, Massachusetts, I think, was the first one or one of the first few. They did a free school lunch program for the kids. And here's the shocker. The reason why they were able to do that is because they taxed the income tax on millionaires that will make lunch free for Massachusetts students K through 12. Now, a lot of people were criticizing the plan of people like AOC and Bernie that said, well, we can tax the millionaires 40 or 50%. We can pay for social programs. This state was able to do this, and they only taxed 4%. And it says right here, Massachusetts' new budget will provide free school lunches for K through 12 students thanks to an additional 4% income tax on state residents' income above $1 million. The extra tax, known as the Fair Share Amendment, was approved by voters in November of 2022 when Maura Healey was elected governor. It is generating an extra $1 billion in income for the state. And out of that $1 billion, you're going to have $224 million go to K-12 programs, which includes free lunch and implementing a clean energy in schools. That was according to the report from the governor's office. This budget shows that Massachusetts can address critical needs like housing, college affordability, and hunger while also remaining fiscally responsible. This spending plan is both affordable and necessary to meet the array of needs confronting our families, businesses, and municipalities. And I am grateful to my partners in the legislature for their collaboration to get this done. And then here's the last part. Additionally, another $229 million will go to higher education, including making community college free for students who are 25 and older, and $71 million will go towards increasing the number of child care slots for low-income families and putting the Commonwealth on a path to universal pre-K. That was according to the governor's office. And it says right here, the standard state income for tax is 5%. The remaining $477 million of the Fair Share Amendment will go towards transportation, including preserving highway bridges, improving city roads, and increasing accessibility to public transportation stations. The total Massachusetts budget is about $56 billion. And so to anybody who just heard that right there, this proves, it proves that when you tax the rich even just a little bit, you can use it to expand programs and do good things for people in your state. And that's how you can get to, you know, tuition-free community college after a certain age. Now they're building better roads. They're building better bridges. They're making college affordable. Kids can eat. And so what the people have to understand is the Republicans are saying, not all Republicans, but a lot of them are saying they don't want that to happen. And for them to not even give a reason as to why they don't want that to happen, I don't know what frustrates me more, the fact that they don't want that to happen or the fact that you have voters that know they don't want it to happen, but they'll still vote for them. And so that right there, I've covered that in my show. And to anybody who hasn't seen it, I'll send it to you if you can't find it on YouTube. But I want people to understand the basic point of that. Lori, what do you have to say about that?
I find it appalling that,
to say the least.
To say the least, because, you know, these these kids, it's not their fault. I don't know, you know, you don't know what the circumstances are in their home. Let's start with that. We don't know. All right. Maybe the mother doesn't work. Maybe the father's an alcoholic or a drunk or a drug. You don't know. But it's not the child's fault if they don't have food in the house. They are not the ones that go out and make the money to buy the food to put on the table so they can have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They don't do that. So the thing is that I find that appalling that they even can think about that. How much can a lunch cost, for God's sake, for these kids? Not much at all. And I know in Michigan,
a couple dollars.
This year, they went through the budget and found money for breakfast and lunch for these kids. And a lot of these kids will leave their home in the morning after getting dressed and maybe having a glass of water and going to school. And like you said, Eric, they're hungry when they're in school. That's all they can think about is that they're hungry and they're not paying attention and they're probably fidgety and, you know, their blood sugar can go up and down, et cetera. It's not a good thing. It's not. So if you are once again, a Christian and you want a Christian nation, then why do you promote these sort of things? Why? To help you?
Well, and you know what? And just so people understand this, Massachusetts was not the only state to do this, as I had talked about earlier here, and also I've mentioned this on previous episodes, that California, Colorado, Michigan, Maine, Minnesota, Illinois, Massachusetts, New Mexico, and Vermont all approve free school meals for K-12 students. And here's a better point. The better point is, now, even though all those states are primarily Democrat, here's the shock. It wasn't just Democratic states that attempted to pass this. Now, of course, Democratic states are the only ones that have passed it, but there are actually some Republican states that attempted to pass it through legislature, or they have Democratic legislators that at least put it to the table, but they probably knew that Republicans were going to vote against it, which they did, but the Democrats still came out looking like the good guys because they looked at the people and said, this is what we tried to do for you. That's why we initiated it. That's why we introduced it. And the Republican governor vetoed it, even if it passed through a Democratic House and State Senate, guess what? Even Arkansas was considering passing something like that, and Arkansas is red. I think I saw something in Louisiana or Oklahoma or like some of the other deep South, deep red states. And so the thing that I'm trying to tell the other side is the idea that kids should be able to eat breakfast and lunch at school for free, this is not a belief that is supposed to be argued amongst the far left or the center left or the far right versus the center right or left versus right in general, libertarians versus independents, whatever. This is like a basic human issue. It's a common sense initiative, and states with any shred of sympathy and compassion can look at this and say, these kids are starving, and that's why a lot of the kids are not paying attention in school or they're failing. It's not because they're passing love notes or something like that or because they're listening to their music on their iPod or whatever. They are hungry. A lot of these kids are hungry, and so therefore they can't focus, which is why I give shout-out to Gavin Newsom and Jared Polin and Laura Kelly and J.B. Pritzker and Kathy Hochul and the other Democratic governors, Gretchen Whitmer, and all the others who made this happen, who helped make it happen. And, you know, it's just that's how we go from there. And I don't see any type of articulate, logical, and proper argument against it.
And, you know, the other thing is there, if they're offering this in school, so, you know, if they're offering this in school to all the children, if they don't want to have breakfast or lunch there, they don't have to. It's there for who wants it and who needs it. That's all. And that's not discriminating anybody. You know what I'm saying? So it's a good thing all the way around. So I just don't understand the cruelty of everything that they want to do. Well, the next point. Hello?
Is that Susan?
Hi, Laurie. Hi, Eric. It's Madeline.
Oh,
it's Madeline.
Madeline.
Oh, I'm sorry.
How are you?
I wanted to say hello. And before I even jump in for half a second, it's Monday Night Football, 16-7 Lions. Go Lions.
Oh, cool.
Oh,
so,
very nice.
If I may, for a moment, we're talking about this breakfast and lunch.
Yeah.
And if you, as an individual, step out of the circle and actually break down who's doing the bitching about it and who's benefiting, the audacity of a millionaire to tell a group of political individuals you cannot feed children for breakfast and lunch.
Yeah.
And it's just what you don't do, because that's how I'm reading this. With all the money that you have, and I'm talking the ones in Congress, because they know good salaries, so let's face it, they have nothing to complain about.
No.
Well, you know what? Here's what I have to say about that, because, and I actually brought this up on the show last night, and as I've said before, I have debated a number of even Democrats about this, that I'm usually not a believer in the fact that something has to get worse in order for it to get better, or at least a believer in the theory that should happen. That right there is what we call the accelerationist theory. Generally, as a rule, I don't support that theory. However, the only one benefit that could be gained out of that is this. So keep in mind, the Democrats want to give kids free school lunches and meals, and the Republicans are saying no. Here's the thing. In a hypothetical instance, and I hope this doesn't happen, if a Republican is elected for president in 2024, so even if it's not Trump, it could be DeSantis, it could be Christie or Nikki or one of the others. If one of them gets elected president and the Republicans take over the House and they keep the Senate, and let's say they have the House, the Senate, the presidency, and the Supreme Court, and let's say they go through with that plan, and let's say they actually make it to where you have to pay for kids' lunches, the Democrats can look at the voters who are now disgusted, the same voters who voted these people into office, and we can look at them and say, this is what we told you would happen, and that's why we were saying that your kids should get free lunches. The reason why, generally for the most part, I would say that I still think that the feeling of sympathy and compassion lies a little bit more on the Democrat side, is because we don't have to wait for something bad to happen to us before we can decide that it's important. I'm a single guy with no kids. I can sit there and tell you, yeah, I may not have any kids, but I still think that, I mean, I was a kid at one point, obviously. I think that kids should get free lunches.
And you don't know what hunger feels like. Yeah,
well,
we're hungry.
Well, at one time or another, we've all felt hungry. We all know what it feels like.
Yeah.
So then,
for sure.
I guess so, Madeline, what do you think about this theory? What do you think of the theory that, if for as much as I'm trying to push Biden and Harris for 2024, if a Republican is lucky enough to become president, I would say, you know what, let me feel this vindication, because let's see what they're going to do. And then they're going to go through with half the things on Project 2025, and they're going to completely rip America apart and destroy it. And that would give me the power to look at these people and say, well, this is what you asked for. That's why we were promoting the Democrat. I mean, what do you think of that theory?
Okay. As far as
–
no, go ahead, Lori.
No, it's okay. I'll have my thought. Go ahead.
I guess
I'll put it like this. I guess to make the question a little bit easier, because I know that was a lot, I guess I'll make it easier. Here's the thing. What do you think about the theory that the only way, besides Biden and Harris getting reelected, which I hope for, but in case that doesn't happen, the other benefit is to allow the public to, I guess, elect a fascist as president, because that would wake more people up, and then that'll force people to really see how bad they are. It's almost like, it's almost like a whooping or something like that, or getting a beating, where it's like, okay, you know that. What do you think about that? Do you think that America has to elect another Republican before more and more people see how bad
Mm-mm.
things are, or before how bad
No, because
get?
You know what? No, that is an easier question, but no, how much more compare us to where when Obama was, and how long ago was that? Not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I don't think we have to get any lower, because this is as low as, and we all, no. When we got the Marjorie Taylors, the Matt Gaetz, and the eight that took McCarthy out, no. I mean, I really, truly don't.
The thing I think about is, why do those of us that understand what these Republicans want to do to our country, and we have done everything that we can besides go to D.C. and, you know, I don't know, smack them in the mouth or something. I don't know. I don't even know what to do. Or go there and march or whatever, you know. But what I'm saying is that why do we have to suffer for the ignorance of others? That is what upsets me. I can't understand. I go into these threads and I see these comments that are so ridiculous, and it's like a second grader wrote them. And why do I have to suffer? Why does the rest of us have to suffer that understand what the Republicans are trying to do to this country? Why do we have to suffer? I mean, they want to take away Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, everything. We have to suffer through that. We've been suffering enough.
Here's how I can answer that question. And the way that I can answer that question is this. And I don't want anybody to get this misconstrued. I'm not saying that I'm promoting the idea of another Republican getting elected. I hope that doesn't happen. But what I will say is this. I will say that there was a few podcasters had said this back in 2016, that were saying, and these were leftist podcasters, and they were saying that the only benefit that we would receive out of a potential Trump presidency is that because he is so openly disgusting and so openly, obviously incompetent and just so stupid and misogynistic and racist and sexist with the things that he says, that mm-hmm. should he carry out his agenda, or at least attempt to carry it out, it's going to be so disgusting to a point that even a lot of Republicans would be embarrassed to openly go along with it, which obviously we saw that with people like John McCain and Mitt Romney. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole thing about it is we saw, as we had pointed out before, the fall of the Republican Party started with Richard Nixon, and then it was Gerald Ford who continued the Nixon mm-hmm. legacy, and then you had the Reagans, then you had the Bushes, and now you got mm-hmm. Trump. And so my theory is that with this keep falling like this, this gives us the leverage to let these people know, hey, there's a pattern. Every time a Republican leaves office, at least almost every time, we have a fall in the economy, because we saw that at the end of Bush. We saw it at Reagan and Bush Sr. And it's always a Democrat president to come in and try to bring it back up. That was Obama's first executive order in 2009 when he signed the Economic Recovery Act. And then Biden's first executive order was, you know, American Rescue Plan, Inflation Reduction, all those things. And so my thing about that is I just don't know how much lower we have to sink in order for more and more people to wake up and just realize that Republicans are just I'm just saying I don't know what it's going to take at this point. If we just got to keep voting.
They're still getting their Social Security checks. They're still getting their Medicare. They're still getting their Medicaid. When they want to come into power, what's the first thing they're going to start doing? And keep in mind, they're going to do it to their own. They're not doing it to the Democrats. Everybody gets cut.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what they have to say then.
As long as it fits into their agenda.
Well, you know, speaking of their agenda.
Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah. And speaking of their agenda, that brings me to my next point on the Project 2025. Their next couple things are this. They want to take away the summer lunches from kids who are not in summer school, even though it's only one meal kids get. And they also want to allow, and this goes to point number 33 and 34, they want to allow meat to be sold across state borders without federal inspections, and they want to repeal the mandate to label GMO food. And so the thing about it is a lot of Republicans want Democrats to explain their points. So back in 2017 or 2018, whichever the two, when they would usually take a Democratic person and a Republican person, if it's not a commentator, organizer, whatever. In this particular case, I remember a couple times, it was Bernie Sanders versus Ted Cruz, and they had major debates on the Affordable Care Act, as well as the, I think the taxing the rich policy was the other thing they debated, or they debated the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And so Ted Cruz constantly says, you're going to have to explain your point. This is what Rick Scott and Mitch McConnell and all the other Republicans tell people like Bernie Sanders, and they tell this to people like Obama and Schumer. And so they want us to explain our points, which we are doing pretty well for the most part. All these things that are on this list, they're not explaining in detail any of this. All they're saying is cut Medicare, cut Medicaid, cut Social Security, 212, cut this funding for the – it's all about just cutting things. And I'm just trying to figure out what else is
going
to take for the voters to see. Well, the thing about it is what else is it going to take for the voters to wake up and see, the undecided voters, that if these are issues that they really care about, then clearly your better option is to vote a Democrat in this election where they can at least get through some of the things that you care for, as opposed to the Republicans, most of them, who will get through things that none of it is what you want. So,
you know,
the problem with the American public is they spend too much time focusing on the small similarities as opposed to the major differences. Go ahead.
Exactly. And the other thing is, Eric, think about this. I mean, everyone think about this. You know, if meat and, you know, chicken, you know, goes through state lines and not federally inspected, you know, it could have, you know, the meat could have worms, or the chicken can have, what do they call that? Yeah, just an illness or a sickness. And then you pass it on to the people, and they're getting sick. So what do you do about that? Then you're creating another problem. And we do have that happen every once in a while. And we all know that. I mean, it's hard to not have that happen 100% of the time. But if you are saying it's okay to not have federal inspections, you don't know what you're eating. You could be eating, I don't even want to say it. I mean, you could be eating anything and thinking it's something else. You really can.
Well, absolutely. You know, think about it, how easy that is to do.
Yes. But the people at the top, they know what the hell they're eating. You know, they know what they're eating. Trust me. You know, and the other thing is this GMO label thing. Our foods need to be labeled, okay? Our food should have in there what's in it, so that what's in it, what's not in it, so that we can make decisions as to what we want to eat and put into our bodies. So when it's labeled GMO, of course, we all know what that means. GMO food is genetically modified food. I call it fake food. That's what I call it. because it's got chemicals and steroids and, you know, all of that in it. So I call it fake food. So I want to know if I'm eating fake food, because I would probably spend a little more money to get something of better quality. And we should be able to do that. So they want to take that privilege away from us as well, just to cut an agency to save a few bucks. For what? To cause more trouble for the consumer. And the other thing I want to add is, to your point, Eric, I think that people get to the point where if their life is okay, if they're going to work every day, they're bringing home their paychecks, their kids are, you know, in school, maybe doing well, they can have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, they can go on a vacation, they have health care, you know, so their lives, what I'm describing, is a life that's just okay. They have money to spend. You know, they're not rich. They're not poor. Those are the people that really do not look, because their life, the way it is right now, is okay, and they don't need to bother about all that extra stuff on the side. Does that make sense to anybody?
Yeah, I can see that to a degree, and I just think that I wish that there was a way that you can get those people to kind of look more at politics, that even if they're not paying attention to it 24/7 like us. I mean, I don't expect everybody to be a political junkie or a news
Mm-mm.
junkie, but
Mm-mm.
it's like there are just certain things that is in the hands of the government, and if they make a decision, it can affect you one way or the other, which means that this
yeah.
could be a very positive thing and it's good, or it can be negative and it's totally bad.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so now we're going to move on. Number 35, ensure all trans children, ensure that all trans children are outed by their parents. In other words,
that is just horrendous,
because what does it matter to the neighbor next door? Do they have to go to the neighbor next door and say, hey, neighbor, my son or my daughter, I'm going to out them right now in front of you. Is that what they want? Or are they going to keep a list of some sort of all the, you know, the gay and the, you know, the children that have been outed, so to speak? That is horrendous. And once again, that is not Christian. I'll keep saying that over and over again.
I'm right with you.
This right here, and I say this sarcastically, obviously, but that right there is just purely amazing. That's grand to me, because it's like, so they're basically saying that's almost saying that if a child is trans, now, don't get me wrong, I understand, I've debated many conservatives about this, and I get the argument that they don't want certain things being pushed on kids, because you want kids to just be kids. They're supposed to focus on things like, you know, cartoons, kids' cartoons. You want them to focus on playing with blocks and playing outside and believing in Santa Claus and believing in Disney and things,
right.
You know, Santa Claus, Tooth Fairy, Easter Bunny. Let's watch Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
That's all I was about as a kid. And I understand that argument, and I get that. But at the same time, and I get that there are certain aspects of that nature that shouldn't be pushed on kids really in that, like, forced in a sense. But
mm-hmm.
it almost sounds like they're saying that if the child feels a certain way that's not their gender, then that just basically means that their parents shouldn't love them. Well, that actually reminds me, and I'd actually have to look this up, because I think I vaguely remember seeing something like this. I think there's a Republican, mm-hmm. and I don't remember who it was, but there's a Republican that has a relative that's either gay or lesbian or trans or something, and they basically disown them. And, you know, I'm not surprised by that at all, because, well, and this is why I don't get how you have people in the LGBT community that vote Republican. They make it clear that they don't like you. I mean, that's not
look,
I know,
Lori, isn't it Cheney's?
But, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Isn't it Liz Cheney's sister? She's gay?
No.
Remember?
I think so. Remember Cheney, the old man Dick Cheney's got a daughter who's gay.
Oh yeah. He does.
Was that Dick Cheney's daughter?
Yes, it's not Liz.
It's not Liz.
No. Her sister. Yeah, she's
exactly.
lesbian.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
That's right.
Her name is
honey.
That's right. Her name is Mary Cheney, and she's married to a woman named Heather.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's, remember, I remember that on the news days.
Yeah.
When it was an issue, and
then
it all of a sudden wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Dick Cheney's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal. I mean, we're not trying to out her here or anything, but I'm just saying what an example that was.
Yeah. Let's go on to the next one. Require that teachers need parental consent to use a trans kid's correct name or pronoun. The teachers don't have enough to do. Teachers don't have enough to do right now. They don't have enough pressure. They don't have enough schoolwork to teach. You know, I mean, really? Okay, I can't. The next one, force accreditation agencies to allow religious schools to do pretty much whatever they want.
Of course.
What do you think about that one, Eric?
Well, that teachers need, okay, so, you know, that seems to almost contradict the bullet point right before that. They first say that they want to ensure that trans children are outed by their parents, but at the same time, they want to require that teachers need parental consent to use as a trans kid's correct name and pronoun. But, okay, well, if they're going to be outed by their parents, then what do they need their consent for then, if that's the case?
It's just one
See,
more
I think
thing
a question to... like that, a question like that should be asked. I think a Democratic official should ask that question to another a Republican official, or even if they're candidates or organizers or whatever. To me, that's – you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of, like, this right here is Republicans are making a big deal out of something that – they make mountains out of molehills. And, you know, there was a – in the state of Oregon – in the governor's election last year. And this one right here, where they were talking about the kids allegedly having litter boxes in the classroom because they identified as cats and dogs. Number one, I don't personally believe that to be true. And if it was true, I'm pretty sure the health department would have gotten involved. I'm pretty sure, yes. Okay, so I'm looking at it right now because I had to look up the names because I forgot. In the Oregon governor's race of 2022, you had Democrat Tina Kotek versus Republican Drazen, however you pronounce that. And the Republican lady, Christine, she was the one that was alleging that kids were using litter boxes in the bathrooms because they identified with cats and dogs. Well, here's the deal. Here's a simple way that you can handle that, and this is what I've told some conservatives. Let me just go on the pretense for a quick second to say that that is true, and let's say that that's what the kids were doing. Now, here's a quick way you can resolve that issue. Why don't you just talk to the kid and just tell them, well, if this is how you want to live, then I guess you'll be eating cat food and dog food. I guess that means you won't be eating human food. That means no McDonald's, no Taco Bell, no Wendy's, Burger King. I said, if this is really what you say that kids are feeling, what they're thinking, they should live that lifestyle. Apparently, I don't see anybody doing that, which means this isn't as serious as you're making it out to be.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about that. I'm not with
Now, granted, I think that's an old issue. I don't think anybody's really talking about that now, but that goes to my theory that it may not have even been true.
Yeah, I don't know one way or another. I mean, I've heard, you know, like little rumors here and there, but you know how rumors are. Everything changes. We talked to five people later, and it's a totally different story. So I have no way of knowing that. So let's go on to the next one. Let's make it. They want to make it pretty hard for student loans to be forgiven. And energy efficiency standards for appliances. Eliminate all government demonstration programs. Let's see, prevent environmental considerations from being used in a building where they have pipelines. Like if they have pipelines in there, they don't have to like get a permit or anything like that. So they have to, they can prevent the environmental considerations from being used. All right. Use the CDC to tell people abortion is risky and dangerous. Now, let's talk about that one for a moment. Yes, an abortion for some women could be risky and it could be dangerous. It depends on her condition, depends on her health, and it depends on the circumstances. So for them to want the CDC to, you know, to tell all these women, what are they going to do, shout it from the rooftops? You know, tell these women that want to have abortions that it's risky and dangerous? Do you think they're dumb and they don't know that it could be risky and dangerous? Of course they do. But it's a decision that they will make for themselves once again.
Well, and again, once again, every single point that the Republicans are putting on here, it's just about making life harder for the average person, not caring about anybody's opinions, not caring about anybody's rights. This brings me to point number 38. 38 is make it pretty hard for student loans to be forgiven. Okay.
Yes.
So here's where I stand with that. Number one, we have to remember this. And here's another one that didn't get talked about enough, and this is the main reason why a lot of people choose to get their news from YouTube instead of television media, because they feel that either the story is not being fully told, or even if it is being told, the story is basically half-assed, and so they want to get to a source that they feel that, let's talk about this, give you the full picture. Here's what the government did recently. The government actually wasted $1.7 trillion on an F-35 fighter jet that they admitted only worked 55% of the time. $1.7 trillion. Right now,
is that the one that went missing?
I think so, yes. And so here's the thing. Right now, student debt, as we know it, is between $1.6 to $1.7 trillion. That $1.7 trillion could have easily cleared out that student debt, or at the very least, you could have used $1 trillion of it, clear out most of the student debt, and that leaves you with $600 billion. Now, what can you do with – or I'm sorry, $700 billion. What could you do with $700 billion? Well, let's see. You can take $200 billion and clear out all medical debt, because medical debt is only less than $200 billion. You can also take out $262 million and clear out school lunch debt, which I didn't even know was a thing until recently. And you can also use some of that money to clear out some auto debt, some mortgage debt, some credit card debt, because credit card just had $1 trillion in debt. It's funny how the Republicans always want to complain about wasteful spending, and they say we're accumulating all this debt. But the things that you're wasting the money on are things that are useless and don't work or not necessary. So you can use the extra spending money to clear off things so that you can reduce the debt. That's how you can do it. Now, and that's just basic, you know, debts that people have as far as student debt, college debt, whatever. That money could have easily been used for something like that. And there would have been no way for Republicans to make a proper argument against it because, well, we already have a strong military. Which means if another country planned to attack us, we're already set. So Republicans are still spreading this fearful lie about China and Russia and all these places planning to attack us. Listen, they probably want to attack us, but they've been talking about that for decades. And as I stated before, the Nixon and Reagan administrations had already made moves that went against China's interests, like when they did the wars and the bombings in places like Vietnam and Laos and Cambodia. If China isn't really wanted to attack us, they'd have done it a long time ago. And so in fact that they haven't done that, we could have used the extra spending to take care of social programs and social services.
See, the Republicans are all about making people afraid. That's what they're all about. They're like the boogeyman. They try to scare you into everything. You know, their lives are bad, and we're going to, you know, Russia and China, and, you know, we're going to go into World War III, and, you know, all of this. They're like the boogeyman. They want to make, you know, everyone fearful, you know, and we're not fearful. I mean, if they start World War III, we're all going to go, because we know there's nuclear out there. So that's the end of that. So, I mean, I can't waste my time thinking about that. I really can't. I mean, I feel bad that we have wars right now going on. And it's sad. It's devastating. And I hope that it comes to a peaceful resolution, but I don't know that that's going to happen. I just don't. So, but they're always about the boogeyman. That's the way I feel about them. They talk about just things that are just fearful and always negative, nothing positive ever, nothing positive ever. And that's the difference between the two parties. You know, the Democratic Party tries to lift people up, and the Republican Party tries to smash them down as far as they can so they can pull themselves up by the bootstraps when their bootstraps are broken.
Exactly, Lori. Remember, the people in Congress, the loans, which one of them were the ones that were voted against student loan forgiveness?
Loans, didn't they? They kept them.
Oh, there's quite a few that did.
And they were forgiven, weren't they? Absolutely.
Oh, they were forgiven. They up front told them they weren't being paid back.
Yeah. So,
and they have the audacity. This is what I don't, that is just ugly, evil.
Yeah.
All for me, none for you. I don't understand the mindset. You and I, Lori, were raised very similar. It's, you know, we come from humble beginnings and we appreciate. And then there are the others that just want to tear the shit right out of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go on to number 43, Eric. You want to read that one?
Yes, yes. So number is allow the importation of vaccines only because ours in this country are somehow linked to abortion. Okay. All right. Look.
Here we go.
So once again, I don't know. See, here's the thing. I really would like to say that they don't know what they're talking about on this, but if they know what they're talking about, I sure don't know what they're talking about because when the vaccine first came out, okay, we had the three of them. It was Fiber, what's it called? It's called what? Pfizer. I'm sorry, I don't know why I can't pick right
Pfizer.
Now. But you have Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. Now,
yes, correct.
Here's the thing. From my knowledge and from my experience, I know that when people took the vaccine, I didn't hear a single person say that this was related to abortion. The vaccine... This was in regards to COVID. Abortion is totally irrelevant to this. If they want to talk about COVID and abortion, let's separate the two, talk about them separately. I don't know what they mean in that one. I'd have to hear a Republican explain that.
No, it makes no sense. Absolutely. But what bothers me is the importation of vaccines. I would not trust a vaccine that was imported from another country like China. You know, I would not take a vaccine imported from China or Russia. There is no way. I'd go vaccine free. You know, so I don't know what they're talking about. I think it's kind of maybe like they would cut a deal with these other countries so they would get the vaccines cheaper and charge more for them and make some money in between. Could that be something? I don't know.
Well, you know what? Again, whatever it may be, they're not explaining it.
Nope. So let's go to 44. This is a good one. Ban all research into three-parent embryo creation and human cloning, by the way. Three-parent embryo produce healthy kids for couples who can't have children. Yes. Now, when someone wants to be... wants to help a couple have a child and carry the baby for that child, they are actually doing them a good service. They are actually helping that couple have a child, have a baby, and a family. But they are making it sound like there's something evil about it. But these are same people that want... They don't want you to have abortion. So what is it that they want? These people are trying to get pregnant because they cannot get pregnant as a couple, obviously. So they have to find a surrogate to carry the child. and they pay the surrogate, make sure the surrogate is healthy. They sign papers. It's all legal. So they want a child. So they want to make it ban all research. Why? Why do they want to ban the research?
Well, again, this goes back to the point that was referenced earlier in this show, that because they already want to cut things like Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, they want to take away mm-hmm. women's rights. Here's the thing. They want to take away rights so you can't do anything. They want to – they already want to not fund things like the, you know, PBS and NPR, like some of the other stations that they don't like. Mm-hmm. It's about controlling how they think, limiting what they can do, because it makes them feel macho and superior and in every way, shape, and form. They just want total control, and that's why their biggest thing is they want to cut education, because they don't want people to learn and to know, as Trump said in 2016, quote unquote, "I love the poorly educated." It all ties into the same thing. And that's probably the one thing he said during the campaign trail that he was actually honest about. Of course, it was negative, but I mean, that also goes hand in hand with, you know, I can shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and not lose anybody. Well, you know, people died of COVID because of his incompetence, and so a lot of his fans are still voting for him because of that. So I guess he's right on that too, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. And why is that? Because they were immigrants?
And here's the thing about it. I mean, he is xenophobic, so I mean, all the comments he makes against immigrants, I mean, a lot of those people like that. The only time that Trump actually liked immigrants or thought they were useful was when they worked for him at his hotels. So when it benefits him, he supports it. But if it's anybody else's reasoning or whatever else they're doing, of course, he and a lot of the Republicans are against it.
It's such a shame. We're fighting each other. And it could be so much better. It's just exhausting.
Go to 45. It sure is. Let's force the NIH, which is the National Institute of Health, to study the negative impacts of gender-affirming care. They are just so hooked on, you know, gays and lesbians and these kids. They are just laser focusing in on these children. Why? They're not bothering them. They're not doing anything for their lives. They're not hurting them in any way. They live in their own home. They have their own parents. Leave them the hell alone.
Yeah, I mean, it's no. That one I don't even have much to say about that one.
No, there's nothing to say, Eric, because it makes no logical sense. You know, if some of these things made sense, where I could say, okay, yeah, maybe we shouldn't be spending money on this, because sure, we could be using it on school lunches instead. You know, okay, that's fine. But they don't do that. They want to take everything away, but they don't tell you what they're going to replace it with, which is probably nothing. Okay, so let's go 46 there. Go ahead.
Make it even harder to get Medicaid and add limits to Medicaid. Okay, so what they're basically saying is we want to cut Medicaid, and we want to just leave a little bit of it because we want people to get it, but we want them to it has to be difficult for them. Again, one of the best things I think Biden did was – I think he said this in his State of the Union address when he called out Rick Scott, even though he didn't say his name, but he implied that it was him, that Rick Scott and the other Republicans want to cut Medicaid. That's what Rick Scott put in his plan, and that's what he had been touting ever since he had been in the government. And that's the same thing that Ted Cruz said. That's what Mitch McConnell's always been saying. This is one thing that if I was talking to a right-leaning independent or somebody who was undecided but possibly leaned more to the Republicans, if they were trying to defend Rick Scott in his defense of, you know, going against what Biden said about the Republicans wanting to cut Medicaid, my question to that person would be this. When Biden stated that Rick Scott wanted to cut Medicaid and Rick Scott
claimed to show like this full upsetness about it, well then why did Rick Scott put it in his plan? And if so, why didn't Rick Scott bother to correct the president on that remark? Couldn't he have said, well, you know what, it's not that we want to cut Medicaid, we just kind of want to redo something with it and make it a different way for people to, well, if you want more people to afford it and to get it, there's a thing called expansion, which is exactly mm-hmm. what Bernie Sanders and a few of the others talked about.
Okay, again, please let me jump in.
Well, you know what? This is what I always say.
It's
I'll
amazing,
tell you one
though.
Thing.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing that I'm a believer in. The main thing that I'm a believer in is however it is that you feel as a person or no matter what it is that you believe, no matter how good or bad or in the middle it may be, the very least that you can do is just be real and be honest about what you say and feel, because at least the public knows who you are and where you stand. The problem mm-hmm. with people like Rick Scott and Ted Cruz and Mitch McConnell and a lot of the other Republicans who want to cut these programs is they have just enough sense to know that if they say some of these things more openly like Nikki Haley did, they know that they're going to lose support in voters because in their heads they realize it's not popular, but they still have to go along with it because that's what their donors want them to go along with. They're funded by mm-hmm. the Koch brothers. They're funded by Big Pharma, which Big Pharma funds some Democrats too. They're funded mm-hmm. by the NRA. They're funded by mm-hmm. There was another one that was mentioned earlier. I would say this, that they're going along with these things, but they're not explaining how they're going to do this. How do you expect the public to live and to take care of themselves when exactly. if they get sick, they don't have the equipment to and the resources to help treat or cure whatever it is that they may have? What happens when they get into a car accident? What happens if they get a broken mm-hmm. arm or a broken leg? Rick Scott doesn't care about that. Ted Cruz doesn't care about that. Mitch McConnell doesn't care about that.
No, he doesn't.
These people don't care. And they're just there to get a check and serve their donors and tell the people to go away. And if you want something, you got to work for it. Even though most of these people were born into rich families and whatnot, that's the problem with people like Rick Scott. Rick Scott is by far one of the most cruel and corrupt people in general, but especially even in the realm of politics. I mean, this guy is by far one of the most corrupt senators. I mean, he's right up there with Mitch McConnell. He's right up there.
Especially after paying $1.7 billion in penalties for cheating Medicare and Medicaid.
Say that again, Madeline. Say that again.
Now, Rick Scott, when he left being governor, he developed and purchased different health cares throughout the country. But come to find out, he became CEO of that company, and they were investigated. They ended up being fined $1.7 billion with a B for cheating Medicare and Medicaid. You can look it up online. You can look up at reputable newspapers. And he has the audacity to want to cut it after what he did. This
is
beyond. I cannot. He is the most.
No, Rick Scott should be in jail.
Well, I agree. I'd like to be the one to turn the key. But he is ruthless. And most people don't know this story. That's the sad part. I had to dig to find the story. It's not out there.
Absolutely.
It's not out there at all.
It's
just unbelievable.
It's been buried.
Thank you.
But you can find it.
Oh, yeah.
You can.
Easy.
Which actually brings me to my next point, which is number 50, which is withdraw Medicaid funds for states that require insurers to cover abortion. Okay. Well, once again, now the Republicans are trying to link everything that's Medicaid related, it has to be abortion related. First of all, let's be clear on this, and I'm just looking this up just to verify, just so people know that I'm not making this up. So the difference between Medicare and Medicaid, because I admit when I was younger, I kind of confused the two a bit myself, and I know some people still get it confused, but here's the thing. Medicare is federal health insurance for anyone that is 65 and older and some people under 65 with certain disabilities or conditions, Medicaid is a joint federal and state program that gives health coverage to some people with limited income and resources. So the voters, again, have to understand that when the Republicans, like Rick Scott, talk about cutting Medicaid, that means that they are going to cut something that is beneficial to low-income families, people who are in the trailers in the country and projects and, you know, inner cities and people who are not generating that much revenue and income. Rick Scott saying he wants to cut that has no legitimate reason for it. And by the way, that $1.7 trillion that we wasted on that fighter jet, you could have used a good majority of that. Oh. If you took $1 trillion and paid off student debt, or at least paid most student debt, and then you could have paid off all school lunch debt and all medical debt, you would still have at least
money left over.
I would say, so you got $1 trillion. So that leaves $700 billion. $200 billion goes to the Medicare medical debt, so that leaves you with $500 billion. You take another $100 billion, and you pay off school lunch debt and go towards other educational-related things. That leaves you with $400 billion, which you could then use to fund these things in social program to expand Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. So that goes back to the point of what the state of Massachusetts did. Even though their thing wasn't much regarding health care, their thing was education, roads, bridges, transportation, college. They were able to do that, and they only taxed the rich by 4%. If the federal government did that, we could do just those things plus more. And people like Rick Scott want to sit there and pretend that he can't understand that. He understands it. He just doesn't care. Because he's filthy rich, and he made his money during his tenure in the government, and he's a right-wing hack and a conservative shill. Yeah.
It's like, garbage. You know, they act like it's their money. It is not their money. They did not earn that money. It is not their money. People have put into Medicare and their Social Security all their lives. They paid into these plans. It's not their money to touch. Absolutely.
It's not an entitlement either.
Okay, let's go on to the next one. They want to block Planned Parenthood from getting Medicaid funds. You know, if you have Medicaid, now Planned Parenthood is not just for abortions. They are
exactly.
It is not. It is for health care for women for different reasons, for mammograms, for pap smears, for maybe they have infections or I don't know.
Cysts
whatever
or polyps
they,
or, yes.
Polyps, yes, whatever. Or, you know, they need their yearly check, whatever.
Uh-huh.
But they're on Medicaid. Planned Parenthood will accept Medicaid as their insurance so that they can get the medical care that they need. It's not always about abortion. It is not. It just happens to be that Planned Parenthood takes Medicare, takes Medicaid as their insurance plan, as their insurance plan. That's what they do. A lot of doctors won't take Medicaid.
Oh.
They won't accept it. Sorry, we don't accept Medicaid. That's how it works. And Planned Parenthood does accept Medicaid. So they want to take away, you know, they want to block Planned Parenthood from getting Medicaid funds. That's not their money. Okay. That takes us to 50.
Withdraw Medicaid funds for states that require insurers to cover. Wait, hold on. Didn't we just read that? Wait.
Nope, we didn't.
The insurers to cover abortion. All right, well, you know.
We're back to abortion again.
The thing about it is,
we're back to abortion again.
Exactly.
This is the thing about it. And people, again, Roe v. Wade is overturned because of the Republicans. It's not the Democrats were fighting to save it while the Republicans gutted it. And now a lot of, and you know, the other people that I blame besides conservative, so to me there's two major groups to blame for this. Actually, three. You have now this might sound partly sexist, but especially when it comes to, I would say, conservative women, right-leaning independent women, and even some of the leftist women who did not vote for Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden in the last couple presidential elections because they just didn't like the Democratic candidate, because they didn't just like Hillary, or because they just didn't like Biden. Here's the thing. If they had just voted for them and they got elected, if Hillary had gotten elected, the Supreme Court would look a lot better. And should you have been, let's say, if you were attacked or you were the victim of an incestuous act and you cannot have this baby due to very legitimate reasons, then whatever your choices do with that is your choice on your own, which I can't say much. And the reason why anybody would end up in that predicament is because of Republican ideologies and Republican policies. And so, again, I try to tell people, it's not that every single thing that Democrats do is right and every single thing Republicans are always wrong, but when it comes to basic social and personal issues like this, the sympathy, as I said earlier, lies a lot more on the Democrat side as opposed to the Republican side, because Republicans have no answers and they just tell you, hey, we're the ones who are in control and we're going to make the decisions for you and you can't say anything and you can't think about it. So you just sit down and you shut up and you do what we say, whereas the Democrats are trying to give you options. So, again,
how about birth control?
Go ahead.
We have a new caller on air. Hello.
Yes, Susie. I'm listening to this. You know,
Susie,
they're so anti-abortion and everything. Why don't they hand out birth control? They won't pay for it. Heaven forbid.
How about free vasectomies? They're reversible.
But they won't give, you know, that's part of Planned Parenthood is birth control. Birth control is so freaking expensive. Poor people can't afford it either. You don't want them to get pregnant. Give them birth control. Wow. Brilliant idea.
I know. Okay.
That
number
brings
51.
Us to the next point, which is prevent the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act from being used to protect doctors who don't wait until a woman is dying to perform an abortion. All right.
Yep. What does that say? What does that tell you? That's the same thing I've been saying all along,
that Republicans don't care.
Yes. Yes. And why? And these doctors are afraid. You know, when a man or a woman becomes a doctor, the reason that they're doctors is because they want to save lives. They want to help their patients to get better when they're sick. You know, it is what they do. So now they're telling them that if you have a patient that needs an abortion, you have to wait till she's almost freaking dead before you can help her. What is wrong with this picture?
Well, you know what? Again, what's wrong with the picture, the bigger picture, is that Republicans are still believing in a lot of things that are not true. They're still believing in, aside from Pizzagate and QAnon, that it's, number one, this brings me to the next point. 52 says, prevent mask mandates in healthcare. Okay, so here's the thing. They still believe that masks are still mandated, which they might be in some areas, I guess, depending on the profession or depending on the people, the number of people who work in the same facility as you. But I asked this question just like I asked the question about what's closed. I did a whole YouTube video asking Republicans what is closed because they say everything is shut down. What's shut down? Okay, well, let's see. The grocery stores are back open again, even though they're not 24/7 like they used to, but they're still open. The movie theaters, MJR, Cinemark, Imagine, AMC, all open. The gas stations, Mobil, Sunoco, Marathon, BP, they're all open. Clubs, bars, restaurants, all your fast food chains, McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell, Wendy's, Coney Island, they're all open. Restaurants, Benihana's, Red Lobster, Chili's, Applebee's, Buffalo Wild Wings, all open. And so my question to Republicans is, what is closed? Which brings me to my next question, where are they still requiring people to wear masks? They're not doing it at my job. I just went to the bank earlier. I didn't see anybody wearing a mask there. I go to the movies all the time, as you know, because I'm always doing movie reviews in my show. I go to the movies all the time. People aren't wearing masks there. I actually just went to the doctors a couple weeks ago, wasn't wearing a mask there. I go to these public grocery stores, and I go to the gas stations, and I go to the bars and places like that, no mask there. The only places where I can see them actually requiring to wear a mask is what they were doing before, if the doctor is performing a heart surgery or they're doing some type of operation on something where they have to wear it there. But I also just traveled recently. Nobody was wearing a mask on the airplane or nobody was wearing masks. I was at a casino. I was like, not doing this. And so when they say remove the mask mandates or prevent them, what are they talking about? They're talking about preventing something that's already not here.
And what they're also doing, Eric, is that they want to prevent for the future in case there's another pandemic so that they can just say there's no pandemic and there are no masks, and they put into effect no mask mandates for anyone. So everyone can keep spreading everything and kill each other with their germs.
Another thing I just saw, that the number of people getting the new vaccines is extremely low. So and you know this is going to be an ongoing infection every year, mm-hmm. especially in the mm-hmm. winter when we're inside and gathering.
Right.
So it's going to spread. And they said, please, people 60 and older, please wear your mask when you're in crowded places because you're going to be dead. You know, young folks can fight it off, but the old folks with problems like lung disease and so forth, they're going to die. You know, mm-hmm. and it should be individual choices, which I agree, you know. But, no, it's going to hit us again. And if they try to put these different mandates in prohibiting masks and stuff, we're going to spread the crap around. I know it's already in Europe. My niece caught COVID again for the second or third time in France.
People are catching COVID. It's milder than it was. And
if they had the vaccine,
You know, yes. Thing is that I'm thinking if there's another pandemic with another sort of virus that is just as bad as COVID, and then they don't want to have any mask mandates, that's the problem. It's a problem. It's a problem for the doctors, the nurses. It's a problem for, you know, working people. It's a problem for your children at schools. It's a problem for the whole country. So once again,
this virus mutates all the time. It changes all the time. We will never, you know, it's like polio or anything else. It should be, it's mm-hmm. going to, and the flu. You get your shot every year, and if you're sick, you're supposed to wear a mask so you don't spread it to everybody else. What's so hard about that?
Oh, no. That would not, you know, don't forget, these people are Christians, okay? So I guess
kill your neighbor, great.
If it'd be Christian-like to not want mask mandates, I can't figure it out yet. You know, they think that we are all stupid and don't understand
idiots
what they're doing, because we do. So the next one is prevent the teen pregnancy prevention program from suggesting abortions to kids.
Okay, so check it out. Listen, the thing about it is this. Now, that reminds me of something. I remember reading a report from the White House. There was a White House report from the government website, and it talked about how one of the things that Obama did was he had a program that actually lowered the amount of teen pregnancies, and this mm-hmm. right here that I see, according to France 24, Obama-era sex education program was criticized by conservatives, succeeded in reducing teen birth rates in parts mm-hmm. of the U.S. that implemented it. A large study said teen births are higher in the United States than in any other G7 country, and the topic of whether to teach adolescents the use of contraceptives has remained heated amongst academics, politicians, and the public. Okay, so again, here's the thing. So this goes to a few things. Now, this is where I kind of struggle. I'm conflicted on this in a way that, so number one, if a teen, and we saw this story recently because this actually happened earlier this year. I believe the girl was only 12, maybe 13.
Yeah.
A 12 or 13-year-old girl who got pregnant. Now, I don't know if it was the result of a sexual assault or was it the result of something incest-related.
One
she
of
got
those.
Pregnant.
Yeah.
She got, and she got pregnant, and she was forced to have the baby. Now, here's the thing. This reminds me of something. Republicans always say they don't want the LGBT stuff pushed on the kids. Well, guess what? In that same respect, you know what else also shouldn't be pushed on the kids? Having to become a parent. You know, they shouldn't be because they're still, first of all, if you're 12 or 13, you're in middle school, you're not even old enough to drive, you're not old enough to drink, not old enough to smoke or to gamble. You know, you might be old enough to travel alone, but besides that, I mean, there shouldn't be, where are they going to get the money to take care of that child, especially if they're living in a family where the parents are strict in a way that, let's say, they're not going to help take care of this child because they want the kid to be responsible. Where are they going to work at? They're not even old enough to work at a McDonald's or a Taco Bell.
There was a 10-year-old that got pregnant, incest in the family, and they made her have the baby. Are you kidding me? 10 years old?
Well, and you know what? The thing about it is this. I think the when they say we shouldn't suggest, which, by the way, this is not what I'm suggesting, but according to the conservative argument, they're saying that they don't want, I guess, liberals to suggest to a teenage girl to you know, for an abortion. Well, here's the thing. If I'm going to agree with that, then here's what I can say. I can say, in order for me to not suggest that to a 13-year-old girl, why not just take better initiative to prevent this stuff from happening in the first place so that you don't have to worry about this stuff coming up in conversation? Because this is not what is supposed to be on a 13-year-old girl's mind. She's 13.
No.
She's in middle school. All she has to be focused on is passing school, and then, of course, she's becoming a teenager, so that there's things that set in, and now she's, you know, thinking about guys and stuff like that. It's, of course, the parents, the responsibility falls on them to let them know, like, hey, you're too young to be having sex and things like that, of that nature. And guess what? She doesn't have to worry about getting pregnant, and then once she gets to a certain age, like, say, 16, 17, you know, they have a guy, they mess around, and there's this thing called birth control. There's this thing called the pill. And then there's this other thing for the guy called a condom. And that's what you use. Yeah. She shouldn't have to worry about the problem. And the reason I bring all this up is because this is the one part that Republicans never talk about, except for some of the MAGA Republicans who said that they support the elimination of all abortion, including rape and incest. The Republican woman who ran for governor here in Michigan, Tudor Dixon, she said that.
Yeah.
Carrie Lake said that. Blake Masterson, Doug Mastriano, a lot of the MAGA Republicans said this. They don't talk about the occasion. And it might be a rare occasion. I don't know how often it happens. But in the event that a teenage girl is sexually assaulted by anybody and she gets pregnant, Republicans don't have a solution. That is why I say it is the responsibility of the parents to tell that girl, like, hey, she's obviously not going to make this decision by herself. If they say she's going to have to abort because if she gives birth, she may not live that much longer depending on her body type or depending on health problems she may have. There's so many complexities to it, and this is what I feel that enough people in the government on both sides aren't talking about enough. There's so many problems out of that. Susie, what do you make out of all this?
I just don't understand. A kid can't have a kid. And it's up to the parents to help that kid, and it shouldn't be against the law. And if the kid's raped or it's incest that the uncle did it or something, there's no way. The kid's got to carry this, go through this trauma, and then they have to live looking at the son of a bitch that raped them. Oh, my God. This poor kid's screwed for the rest of her life.
Yes, and not only that. Take the child that's 10 years old, okay? Probably still plays with
dolls.
dolls, you know, different things. Still plays with dolls and all of that. And can you imagine her going through her life in this with this trauma of what happened to her? Not even understanding what happened to her. First, the trauma of the incest, and then the trauma of going through a pregnancy when you're 10 years old.
You're going to make her waddle into elementary school
and then
with a big belly
and
have morning sickness and go through all that crap and all the other kids looking at her? I mean, that's horrible. I mean, what person in their right mind will allow a poor baby to go through that?
Exactly. And then give birth to this child. Don't you think that this child is screwed up for life?
Oh, for sure.
And this brings me to the next couple points, because I want to tie in a few of these things together. For time purposes, we have about 20 minutes left. So let's combine a couple of the things together while we can still talk about that. The next couple say keep same-sex couples from adopting, require family planning clinics to provide information about the importance of marriage, and allow faith-based groups to discriminate against same-gender couples. All right, so once again, so when you say require family planning clinics to provide information about the importance of marriage, first of all, I'm pretty sure that, number one, you have couples that have been together for a long time, and there's a number of them that plan on getting married, and I'm sure they thought it through, and, you know, because there's a number of things you have to – I've never been married, so I can't sit there and give you the whole detail, but it has to do a lot with, you know, some people who say we got to get our finances and, you know, do we want kids and, you know, where are we going to live, things like that. Maybe some people who are in that position, maybe say, I know couples that have been together for a while, maybe they don't plan on getting married. As far as keeping the same-sex couples from adopting and allowing the faith-based groups to discriminate against same-gender couples, well, you know what? I'm going to tell you why that goes against their own narrative. Because I thought that, see, a lot of the MAGA people and a lot of Republicans, they want to sit there and say this country's divided, and they say, you know, if this person, you know, feels this way or they – we're allowed to write the free speech, and we have the freedom of speech, and we have the freedom of the press, and the freedom of religion, and all those things go hand in hand, and I support that, but if you're saying that you're allowing a group to discriminate against somebody because of their gender, then that doesn't sound like you're exercising a freedom to me. It sounds like you're exercising this thing called superiority and control, and so that goes against their narrative. Keeping the same-sex couples from adopting, okay, well then, let's say you have a straight couple, if a man and a woman, they have a child, maybe she didn't plan it because they had unprotected sex and they were hoping she didn't get pregnant, but she did. So she has to go through the process of 9 months and gives birth and puts it up for adoption. They don't want the kid anymore because maybe they can't afford it or time or whatever it may be. They don't want it. Well, what's the fault in a couple who just happens to be a gay couple or a lesbian couple that they just want to adopt the child because they want somebody to take care of? Here's where I can understand part of the Republican argument, but here's how I can also dismantle it. Number one, this goes to what they talk about with things like in school, as far as we don't want this taught to certain kids because we don't want them to grow up to be this way. Just because if you have a lesbian couple that adopts a little girl, that doesn't mean that that girl is going to grow up to be lesbian. You have boys that were adopted by gay male couples. They didn't grow up to be gay. Maybe some did, but not all of them. You might have transgender as a parent. They grew up in different ways. You don't always match the sexuality of who has raised you. And to me, I think that's where they get it wrong. Now, I'm willing to go a little bit far to say that this is a fraction of a benefit of a doubt. Maybe some of them may not understand it to that degree, and maybe some do, but just kind of disregard it. That part is a little more complicated, but again, I don't think that's the right policy. And number 57, and keep in mind, we'll go up to number 60, and then we'll continue the rest on Thursday night. The last few ones say this. Number 57, and to those of you who just called in not too long ago and you're curious to know what we're reading this thing called the 72 bullet points for this Republican plan called the Project 2025, and this is what Republicans plan on doing should they take control of the government again in 2024. So number 57 says eliminate Head Start program, okay? I've heard them say before that they want to cut the funding for K-12, and they want to cut, you know, preschool funding or pre-K, but again, have not heard a reason as to why. I don't get that.
You know, in the Head Start program, also, you know, the kids can go to school. They, you know, the little children can go to school, the little kids, they can go to school, and their parent can go off to work. So when they cut that Head Start program, also, they're making it harder for the parents to go to work as well. So they're causing dual problems for the child. You know, it's beneficial for the child to go into a Head Start program. You know, they can learn at a younger age, get used to going to school. You know, it's like a pre-kindergarten type thing, but it's even before that. I think it's a year before pre-kindergarten. But I'm just saying, it's not a horrible thing. And for a parent, it would maybe be a godsend because they don't have to pay all that money out to child care. But they don't even want that. So what do they want? Once again, how Christian is that? Tell me how Christian that is.
They go against the poor people. In Europe, they have free preschool, daycare from the time they are born all the way through college. It's paid for. And medical care for everybody. And when you're old, they take care of you. And they don't pay exorbitant taxes, but they get care all their life. And their government does it. So what the hell is wrong with our country? We are one of the richest country in the world, and we can't support our people? I don't understand.
Susie, we can support our people.
I know, that's their excuse.
We can have, you know, they can make Social Security and Medicare better. They can make the Affordable Care Act better. They can add to it. They can do all of that. We could have so much in this country. But the greedy and the Christian right, I'm sorry, I can't say that enough. The Christian right does not want any of this.
Corporations don't want to be taxed.
People in this country,
you know, heaven forbid.
They don't want that. They want people to suffer. And I don't know why. I can't figure it out. I don't understand, except that it's cruel. And these people cannot win in 24. They just cannot win. We have to slaughter them from the top to the bottom. Slaughter them. Just get them out of office. Every single one that is in there right now that's up for reelection, they have to go because this cancer is spreading daily. We have to understand.
And now, and then we get to the last few points, at least for this section. We have 58, 59, and 60. So 58 says prevent physician-assisted suicide. Now, look, I have to be 100% honest with you on this one. Physician-assisted suicide, I guess what they call euthanasia, I didn't really feel too strongly about that at first. I think that, and this one is a little more difficult for me to cover because me personally, I don't know anybody who's been in that situation. I don't know that I could bring myself to do that. Now, I don't know about everybody else's personal life here. I personally have never had any suicidal thoughts, and I know people who have, and I actually helped prevent a couple suicides I can think of. I mean, one of them was my former brother-in-law, and the other's a close friend who lives in Massachusetts. And
what this is, I think you have it confused. What this is physician-assisted suicide. So that means when they have a patient that is dying and suffering and all the medical treatments have not worked, say they only have a little bit of time left, the physician can inject them and help them to pass. And if that's their wish, that's what they do. But they don't want that either. Why? What does it matter?
Because they want them to suffer and make the money off of them while they're dying.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, you want to know something about that? This brings me to another point. Even though I still am not all the way yay or all the way nay on that one, the only hypocrisy that I can bring up regarding that point in terms of what they listed there is they want to say that they prevent that. So even if I were to agree with that for a split second, there's also other programs that we could use to help people live longer and money that we can invest in the things that help people live longer. That goes back to the same thing that I've always talked about. This is why we need things like tuition-free community college. This is why we need everybody to have access to affordable health care if they want it. This is why we want to end the war so that our soldiers aren't dying pointlessly in these offensive wars that, you know, against countries
never
that
ends.
Didn't attack us. This is why I say we need some more stimulus checks for people who make under a certain amount of dollars a year, 60 to 80,000, maybe even 100,000 at most. I would say that this is why we need things like higher wages. This is why we need debt canceled. We need medical debt canceled because medical debt is one of the leading causes of both bankruptcy and suicide. This is why we need to cancel all student debt. And so if Republicans are serious about wanting to save lives and they want people to live longer, just those things alone, if they were implemented, it would save so many lives, so many lives. And so if that's really what they believe, they would support things like that and not just say, well, if they die in a war, they died fighting for us, and if they didn't afford Medicare and Medicaid, if they because they couldn't work because they were lazy and they couldn't pay their medical bills because they were busy doing wasteful spending and things like that, they can't have that viewpoint and say we want to prevent this death at the same time. So if you want to prevent one death, you have to want to prevent all deaths if possible. So that's what they have to see. Now, this brings me to point 59, which is allow insurers and employers to not cover contraception once again with the abortion, with the contraception. So, again, allow them to not use. First of all, when an insurer or an employer allows or not allows something, for the most part, that is on the company. So you can have one company that would have health care to cover that, but then another company may not do that. I've worked in plenty of jobs in my life. Most of there were some of them which I had health benefits, and there was plenty that I didn't. I mean, I've worked in restaurants and fast food places. Like, I've worked in Applebee's, and I've worked at the IKEA Food Center. I've worked at Popeye's. I worked at – I opened up the Longhorn Steakhouse in the airport. Of course, those places didn't have any of that. I've worked at Amazon before. They had it. I've worked at Penske. They had it. And now I'm at Medline. They have it. It really just depends on the company. So that rule is not – at least to my knowledge, and I could be wrong, I'm not that educated on this particular one, but I don't think that there is a government rule on a federal or state level that has anything to do with that. I think that's a company thing.
Yeah. I mean, what business is it of theirs if a company wants to cover for their employee contraceptives? What business is it of theirs? It's not any business at all. It is not. That's why I can't take – these people are just out of control. They're out of control. And I saw a commercial. I've seen it more than once. Men can go online, and they can get Viagra and order it online, and you get it shipped to your home in a nice little package. Do they have anything in here about Viagra? Hell no. Hell no.
Well, and you know what? And that brings me to the last point that we'll get to for tonight, because we have about 10, 11 minutes left. So number 60 says remove contraception from preventative care under the ACA, Affordable Care Act. In other words, people currently do not have to pay for it. All right. So once again, this is why when the Obamacare was first launched, it was a strictly partisan thing where pretty much the Democrats voted one way and the Republicans voted the other way. And as I've always said, they've done this with many pieces of legislation, especially when a Democrat is the president. You know, you've had more Democrats that actually voted on some Republican legislation than you did with most Republicans who voted on most Democrat legislation, at least with the last few presidents. When it comes to the American Rescue Plan Act, when it comes to the COVID relief package, when it comes to the CHIPS Act, when it comes to the Inflation Reduction Act, when it comes to capping the cost of insulin at $35 a month, this was stuff that 99% of Democrats voted for and 99% of Republicans voted against. And there were some people who may not have been present during the voting, so they couldn't vote. It was a vacant vote or whatever. But, again, I'm just telling the public, this is how it is. I can't control the way that you vote. I can't control what you do when you walk into that voting booth. But all I can tell you is here are the numbers. Here's the math. Here are the facts. Go on the government websites, see how these people voted, look at their track record.
Uh-huh.
They're showing you who they are by the way that they have voted.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, this right here is just another way for Republicans to take control just to say they have control. They don't want any Democrat leftist or left-leaning policies in play.
No.
They voted against 2 years of free community college. They were against the student debt cancellation, or in Biden's case, it was a reduction. I think it should have been a cancellation, but a reduction is still better than nothing. They
mm-hmm.
were against they're against eliminating the school lunch debt, which I think should be talked about more, and they just want to cut anything and everything. And they're going to continue to get rich off their donors. They're going to get rich off the Koch brothers, get rich off of Big Pharma, the NRA, Wall Street, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup. I mean, it's really all it comes down to. Project 2025 is a potential destruction and breaking down of America as we know it. You know who you know what it seems like this is? It's almost as if the entire Project 2025 was written by Steve Bannon himself.
Oh,
there you go.
Because he said out of his own mouth that he wanted to deconstruct Washington.
He could very well be involved in it. We don't really know because they don't give names. So,
And that's okay. And they don't have to give the names, but I'm pretty sure we can speculate and theorize on who they are at least who they're connected to.
Yep. So, thank everyone for coming on tonight and, adding your comments, and they're very much appreciated. I'm just so concerned about the election coming up because of the things that I read and the things that I see. But I do know that President Biden is probably going to go down in history, and this is my opinion, and my opinion only, I don't know, as being one of the best presidents of our time. And I say that because just what we went through tonight and last night, what we've been showing, telling everyone, what these conservative Christians want to do to our country and its people. And we have a president that is 80 years old. And I know he probably would like to retire, is my guess, and spend his years that he has left in peace and calm with his family, maybe traveling, riding his bike, whatever he wants. There is a calling for him. And I trust him as a leader because I see that he really cares. And when he talks, and he talks low, he doesn't talk loud. He's very calm most of the time. And I see that he has caring in his eyes. You can see that he cares about people. And I think that's what bothers these Republican Christians, is that this man is a Catholic. He has faith, and he practices what he preaches. And I believe that he is going to get reelected. I do. He has been straight and narrow. He's done a lot of what he said he was going to do. It's not been easy. I feel bad for him, because I feel like he doesn't get sleep, because now first he had Ukraine, and now we have Israel and the Middle East. And, that weighs heavily on him as well. And he is a leader that is admired all around the world. He deserves more praise than he gets. So I want to thank President Biden and Kamala Harris for steering the ship and keeping us safe up to now, and making our country better. And we will work as hard as we can to get others to vote for you, to vote for both of them, to vote for the Democrats up and down the ballot, so that we can have 4 more years of peace in some respect. And that's all I have to say. So Eric,
right, and as again, so mm-hmm. as we're closing out right here, I do mm-hmm. want to say thanks. It was only Susie and Madeline. You two were the only ones that called in tonight,
yes.
right?
Yep.
Okay. Are you both?
Like to say thank you and
here?
Good night to both of you, and you too,
mm-hmm.
Susie.
Good night.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, so thank you all for calling in.
Good show. It's an important show, and I hope a lot of people listen.
We're not done, Susie. We have one more segment.
This is the last thing that I'll say before I close it out. My name is Eric Brantley. I'm a precinct delegate and trustee in the Michigan Democratic Party. But to those of you who are Democrats who are listening out of the state of Michigan, believe me, I'm on your side, and I'm here to help you as well, because I've reached out to Democrats in every state that I can. I have Democratic friends, allies, and teammates in California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Florida, New York, Massachusetts, Illinois, Missouri. I have a YouTube show. It's still in its beginning mode, so an amateur show where I promote Democratic politics and talk about Democratic candidates and organizers that I'm promoting, Democratic groups and podcasters to listen to and to reach out to. Of course, my YouTube is filled with many other things. I talk a lot about entertainment because that's what I really like, shows, movies, games. And my number is 734-620-1164. The name is spelled E-R-I-K-B-R-A-N-T-L-E-Y. The email address is BrantleyEric@gmail.com. The Instagram is EricBrantley500. Twitter is EricBrantley1. Facebook name is just Eric Brantley. The name is Eric Brantley on YouTube. You can find me. Contact me whenever. This has been a good show. I'm glad you all listened to it.
Okay, so I just wanted to say good night to everyone. And I don't forget to check our Facebook page, Kitchen Politics 123, and we also have the Kitchen Politics radio show page. We have our website, www.kitchenpolitics.com, 123.com. We have that as well. We're going to we are expanding. We're working on that. It's a long process. It's taking much longer than we thought. We're getting there. And I want everyone to have a good evening. We will be finished on Thursday. It'll probably take us an hour is my guess. So then after that, we will have call-ins and talk about different topics. And we have to vote blue no matter what. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you, Eric. This is Lori Picker from Michigan. And this is
Eric. Kitchen Politics 123.
And Eric Brantley from?
Eric Brantley, also here from the state of Michigan, and this has been Kitchen Politics 123. Anybody who wants to contact me, feel free to call, text, or email whenever. If you have a Democratic candidate you need me to promote in your area, I'm there to help you.
Thank you so much, everyone. Good night. Good Thursday.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.